So, Chuck, we're going to give people a little inside information before you start the show today.
Oh, boy. This is very interesting.
So this is an interview that we did with Daniela Stella, or Daniela, whatever she calls her name, and that's not even her real name. She's running against Ilhan Omar in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you probably remember when we interviewed her, we asked her questions that she kind of, you know, kind of turned into deer in the headlights in an audio.
Are you
version.
Under arrest now? Are you in prison as we speak?
So it ends up, since we recorded this, we found out that she's been arrested after staff allegedly caught her going through the self-checkout and only scanning a few items. She told the arresting officer she suffered from PTSD, and that turned her into a target kleptomaniac. She's told police she normally goes to Target accompanied by someone else to stop her from stealing.
She has to have a handler.
Exactly.
She has Handler going with her.
She's perfect for Congress.
Exactly right. She started off right with as a kleptomaniac. It's perfect.
I mean, she can't be more qualified. To be a member. So let's get to the interview, folks. Just remember.
Yeah, just remember, this woman is not legit.
She's crazy.
She's illegit. And here she is.
It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, along with my co-host, Mark Young. Michael Avenatti is back in the news, Mark.
Well, does it qualify as being back in the news when you hold a news conference and no one shows up? Is that really being in the news?
What is that all? I mean, who... Why would you even do that? I mean, how embarrassing. I guess, you know, these people, it's impossible to embarrass them.
Even,
it's impossible to shame them.
Even CNN is done with him.
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm surprised. I don't know why they weren't done with him long before now.
I know, but I mean, he was on CNN every other night.
Oh, I know. MSNBC, too.
But, yes, no one showed up for his press conference.
What was his press conference about?
Well,
no one knows because
no one was there. So we really don't have an idea what his press conference was about, Chuck. But we do know that Michael Avenatti had one. No one appeared for his press conference.
Now he's going to jail, isn't he? Has he been convicted yet, or is he just...
No, he's got several trials going on.
Okay.
He's facing about 400 and some years in prison time.
Oh, gee.
But as I've said before, I think he'll be out in about 250 years for good behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there'll be a problem with that. I think that'll work out just fine. Chuck, we're going to have a guest on today. We're going to talk to Daniela Stella. We'll bring her on in a moment. Okay. First, a couple of other issues I wanted to hit you with, Chuck, is here in beautiful Detroit, we're represented in our area by the lovely Rashida Tlaib,
who's now advocating for $20 an hour minimum wage.
So I've decided I'm going to throw my hat in the ring on this seat. I'm going to run for Congress here in the district.
Well, you actually could run for Congress there.
I could run for Congress, and I'm not insane. But however, my platform is going to be, now Rashida said she needs $20 an hour because she doesn't want her people doing without.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now when I'm in Congress, I'm going for $100 an hour because my people are definitely not going to do without.
I wonder if they'll get in a little war who's running for president to just keep upping it until it gets to be $100 an hour.
Well, I can just imagine she came out with this $20 an hour, and now can't you envision, it's the morning, it's at Bernie's house, you see Bernie, you know, rubbing his head with a balloon to get his hair done.
Bernie, when he talks, he types. Do you ever notice that?
Yes.
He uses his hands and he types every word as he talks.
But you can imagine Bernie, $20 an hour? What's going on? I was the leader of this for $15 an hour until I stiffed all my own people.
No, it's $20 an hour.
Yes, $20 an hour.
Hour.
So Bernie will have to get in the game.
How do these people elect these guys? How does he get elected where he is? I just don't understand it.
It's, well, look at Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah, but she comes from a basically Muslim district, correct?
She replaced John Conyers.
Well, he wasn't a Muslim.
He was a lunatic.
Well, yeah, she was a lunatic.
And basically a criminal, but at any rate, yeah. So she replaced John Conyers. Interestingly enough, though, both Rashida and Bernie both seem to style their hair with balloons. You take a balloon, you rub it on your head until your hair sticks up. Mm-hmm. And it's a good style.
That's,
it's a good look.
Electricity look.
Yeah, it's a good
Max
look.
Headroom.
Yeah, I like it. I think you would look good with that.
Absolutely.
I
try.
Last thing I'm going to hit you with, Chuck, is Colorado State University is now telling students that they have to stop using the word American because it's not an inclusive word.
Well, of course, if you're anti-American, it wouldn't be.
Well, here's the reason. Mm-hmm. By the way, you're a racist anyway, so you know this.
Well, let's just start from that premise, right?
All right, you're a racist, homophobe, whatever. Mm-hmm. The reason, I want you to follow the logic here now. The reason you shouldn't say American,
right,
is because it assumes that the United States is the predominant country inside North America.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, it assumes we're the dominant country inside North America. Did Canada all of a sudden get 300 million residents that I didn't know about?
Canada. I have to laugh when I hear the word Canada. I can't help it.
You know how the
Canadians, but it's just funny.
You do know how Canada got its name, right?
No, I don't.
Oh. Well, there was three guys in the Great White North that were sitting around a campfire.
Yes.
And they were exploring Canada. And they said, you know, this is a great place. We need to give it a name, eh?
Eh?
And the first guy said, well, let's start with a C, eh? And the other guy said, yeah, it's a good idea. How about an N, eh? And the third guy said, how about we throw in a D, eh? And there it is, Canada. That's how it got its name.
Somebody said, eh.
That was a really bad joke. It took a long time to get to it.
Yeah, no kidding. It really was a bad joke. I would never tell that again.
No, we'll cut that out of the podcast, but we really won't.
Yeah, right.
All right, Chuck, we're going to go to our interview today. We're going to be interviewing Danielle Stella from Minnesota, running in the 5th Congressional District against Ilhan Omar, or whatever her actual real name is. So, Daniel, welcome to Blunt Force Truth.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm excited to be here.
Chuck, where do you want to start off at?
Well, number one, why do you think you're qualified to run against Omar?
Is anybody unqualified to run against Omar?
I'm just curious to get her perspective on her own self.
Well, that was the question I had myself. Earlier this year, I had been getting very frustrated about how our representation is currently in Minnesota. And I was reaching out online to the Republicans and saying, hey, we need to have a Republican challenge Ilhan Omar for this seat. And then nobody was responding to me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to look into the qualifications myself. I'm the right age. I have education. I'm a special education needs teacher. So I have experience leading students and
advocating.
Well,
that'll come in handy in Congress.
And I have been a volunteer in my community for a very long time. I volunteer with our veterans. I volunteer in my church in the children's ministry, and I help develop a program for people who have traumatic brain injuries in the hospital.
That'll help in Congress too.
Yeah, no kidding.
So far, you're fully qualified to at least handle Congress. Special needs and special brain kind of thing.
So why do you think Ilhan Omar is
a problem? I love our country. She is a problem in many ways. She disrespects our country at every opportunity. She disrespects our troops. Her comments about 9/11 were so disgusting and vile. And then her comments about the Battle of Mogadishu, calling American soldiers the bad guys, when our soldiers went there to save people and got dragged behind trucks for bringing them food. Her comments about our presidents are ridiculous. And she, not just her recent ones, but she's been doing this for months, calling herself his biggest nemesis. She refuses to be respectful and say his name. She calls him the individual. And her recent comments have gotten even worse.
Well, there is, in all due respect, there are many people that are campaigning to be the president's number one nightmare. There seems to be a stack of people that are trying to take on that particular mantle at the moment. But go ahead.
But there's so many people challenging our president, and he's staying strong, and I respect that, and I admire that. Her and her little squad, the squad of four people that they've developed, they are very bad for our country. They're pushing a socialist agenda that will destroy our economy. They are causing a hate divide in our country. They're pushing a racist narrative, which is not true. And they should not be in Congress. Ilhan Omar, she made promises to whoever voted for her. I have not found these people who voted for her yet. I've been asking. She's made promises that she was going to make change here in Minnesota, and she doesn't. She doesn't come back. She came back for the Pride events and took pictures and then went back off. But we have a lot of concerns here in our district that she's just not helping.
You know, this squad that you talk about, it's really kind of interesting. They've never done anything. Nothing.
No.
I mean, they haven't accomplished anything. They haven't been there long enough to do anything other than just stir the pot.
Yes, and they've already been re-endorsed by the Justice Democrats for next year, and they're wasting taxpayer money. They are causing more problems. They're even causing problems for their own party.
So tell us about this fifth district.
A very heavily weighted Muslim district that you're in?
We do have a lot of Muslim people in our district, but I think our biggest demographic is actually, I think it's like 60% white people. And it said that almost 50% of the people didn't even come out and vote last time. So what my goal is to reach out to the younger generations. I'm a millennial myself, so I'm going to be reaching out to millennials and Gen Zs at colleges and talking to them at campuses and hearing their concerns. And we've actually been getting some support from people who are going to be voting for their very first time next year in 2020. And to me, that's beautiful to see young people excited about voting and getting involved.
Now, what do you do for a living now? Are you still doing the child thing? What did you say?
Yes, special education needs. I specialize in autism.
So are you in a school or what?
Yes, I work in a school, and then I also work one-on-one with families that need extra help, and I'll help with things in the community, take them to speech therapy, equine therapy, things like that. I really enjoy what I do.
So Chuck, let's talk
it's hard to work with children and then know that there's people who are trying to destroy our country, and there's going to be no future for our children unless somebody stands up and fights for it.
I'd like to introduce you to a new type of podcast. And by new, I mean there's never been anything like this before, not in terms of scope or ambition. The show is called Living Beyond 120. Science proved that lifespan could exceed 120 years back in the 1960s. And the Bible first mentioned living to 120 years 6,000 years ago in the book of Genesis. But the question is, how do we get there? Living Beyond 120 tries to answer this question. The show is an exploration into human longevity and what it will take for us to live longer, healthier lives, featuring interviews with some of the most respected minds in longevity science and tackling big subjects like how the medical system, big pharma, and maybe even our own government don't want you to live longer. Living Beyond 120, it's hosted by me and my co-host, medical expert, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden. You'll find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast directory, and you can also listen to it at the website livingbeyond120.com. So let's talk about this district for a minute. So the 5th District, this includes Minneapolis and some of the outlying areas. Now, from what I understand, this district is that no Republican has ever gotten more than 40% of the vote in this district in the past 50 years. And by the way, Chuck, this was Keith Ellison's seat.
Ah, yes.
So they already had a Muslim in the seat before Omar came along.
Right.
This is also considered, the 5th District
and
is considered. Right, now he's your Attorney General. Great work there. So, and this district is considered the most Democrat or left-leaning district in the entire Midwest.
Well, you have an uphill battle.
So it's San Francisco on the Great Lakes.
Many people are saying it's impossible.
Well, what makes you think that it is possible? I mean, what's the game plan?
That's why I chose to get involved myself. I was raised that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. And I'm starting my campaign early. Our election's not until November of next year. And I'm going to be working as hard as I can to get the message to everybody. And I know that many people are not having their concerns met by Ilhan. And so I'm going to be reaching out to religious leaders in the community. I'm going to be reaching out to the unions, to police officers, to everybody. And it is going to be a very uphill battle, but if somebody doesn't even make the effort to try, then it's just going to continue to go downhill. We can't just let our country be destroyed from within.
This district, by the way, Chuck, is known as, it is referred to as the Bloody Fifth.
Why is that?
Because it goes all the way back to 1883, where it was known that running for that seat was a game of graft, intimidation, and election fraud.
Perfect.
So we will say the 5th District, electing bad candidates since 1883. That's quite a slogan they've got going on there.
Oh, my gosh.
So how are you going to get...
So the FBI earlier this year, they called Minneapolis the terrorist recruiting center of the country. The FBI called us that earlier this year.
Really?
She doesn't speak on this. She refuses to speak out against terrorism.
Now, why does the FBI say that?
She refuses to speak out against terrorism. And that is very concerning, considering that we were called the terrorism recruiting capital of the country. And there's a lot of bad things going on here. And she doesn't talk about that. She doesn't talk about Antifa, who was inspired by her and her squad. And our attorney general, he has a selfie of it. Like, here's how to destroy the president. So her refusal to speak out about these issues, in addition to how she talks about our troops, is very upsetting and disturbing to me. And I think that many people need to get this message and understand that it's not just our district, it's our whole country, and she's on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
You know, it's funny. It seems like those would be things that people would be very upset about in Minnesota, not just any place else, but I mean, she's kind of, I'm going to say it, she's an Islamist, and she's in our Congress. She's in a, you know, complete opposition to what our Constitution is about, what everything is about, but they'll claim, you know, they love the Constitution. I don't know whether she certainly does not love the country.
No.
So what is it? What's in the water in Minnesota? They elect the strangest people come out of there, and you just wonder what in the world are they thinking and what's going on? I mean, well, Jesse Ventura is a governor. I mean, give me a break.
I've been campaigning, and I've been asking people, because I want to meet these people who have actually voted for her. I see the people on her social media, but I don't think that they are. I think that she's having like some bots on her social media, because there's no way that there's 4 million people that agree with every ridiculous thing that the squad says. That just doesn't make sense to me. But
well, how did she run when she ran? Did she run the same kind of rhetoric she has now? I mean, did she use the same kind of rhetoric when she was running for Congress? Because, you know, a lot of people don't.
I know that Laura Loomer had covered in depth about Ilhan Omar like about a year ago. And now all of her work is in the mainstream media, even the local biased media that is in support of Ilhan. Her comments have increased in the negativity. She has made anti-Semitic comments way before she ran for Congress, and somebody should have vetted that and addressed it right away. But she was making it earlier this year, and local media was saying it was taking it out of context. But she continues to do it, and no other religion in our country is standing up and trying to silence other people's religion the way she is, and she's speaking out against Christianity. She's bashing conservatives. She's even bashing our state, saying,
well, I mean, she's a person who honestly is all about Sharia law. She is a Muslim. She is a Islamist. So she's looking to replace our system with an Islamic system. That's really the truth, whether people want to say that or feel like that's, you know, some kind of racist comment. It's exactly honestly, and it comes from honesty. That's where she is. And I just can't figure out how the people of Minnesota want to sit back and tolerate that. It just is amazing to me that they would be that tolerant of someone who is so intolerant.
I feel like maybe some of the people are afraid to speak out against it because
they can vote against her. They don't even have to speak out against her. They can just vote against her.
Yes. And that's what we need to urge people to do, because on Memorial Day, she was fundraising on Memorial Day in Seattle, Washington, and she closed it to the press and she closed it to the public, and her banners and her flyers for it were calling on more Islamic people to take positions of power. And she's basically trying to wage a war against everybody in America that she doesn't agree with. She doesn't agree with people who support our president. She doesn't agree with conservatives. She doesn't agree with people who believe in pro-life. She doesn't believe in a lot of things. And I respect our military and our troops and our fallen heroes. And she is dangerous to our country. And she wants to abolish ICE. She wants to defund Department of Homeland Security. All of these are horrible ideas. When we have people who are in need here, we have veterans. She doesn't speak about those things. She doesn't speak about what happened at the Mall of America to Landon on April 12th. It's been over 3 months and the five-year-old is still recovering in the hospital with no date of when he's going back home.
Is she the one that called Nancy Pelosi a racist?
Yes. Her and the squad called Nancy that.
I love it.
So how is she polling? So I know nationally she has a 9% approval rating. But 9% approval rating nationally doesn't mean anything because it only matters what the district wants. Any feel for how she's polling? Have you run any polling data? Do you know how she is polling right now?
I believe that because I'm working towards the endorsement from the Republican Party, it will not happen till March of next year, but we're having candidate meetings and I think that they will be sharing some of that information that they're getting. We have a meeting next Wednesday and then we have a debate going on between some of the Republicans that are running for the seat. I also think that it would be interesting to do my own poll to see why are people still supporting somebody who blatantly hates America.
So how are you funding your campaign since no one knows who you are at this point? And we know that money is the mother's milk of politics. So how do you fund yourself?
Right now, we're just getting started. We launched our website last month, and I'm very impressed at our website. It was designed very nicely, and so right now, we're just taking donations, and people are helping donate. It's once we get closer to the endorsement process, then the Republicans, I believe that they will put funding behind the candidate as well, and there's other people who have reached out at some different events. There's a Tea Party that reached out that I'm going to be meeting with next week. And I'm just going to do my absolute best. And right now I feel very passionate and I'm feeling very inspired by the country and people who are believing in me. I was told this was impossible, but there's many people who don't think it's impossible.
Now there's clearly, if you're going to run for this seat, this is going to be one of the most visible and highly contested seats in the entire Congress. So this is going to be something where the even though it's a fifth district election, it's going to be something that has national focus on it, along with, you know, you can AOC seat. You can imagine that the run in AOC's district is going to be covered like crazy. So clearly, you're going to be confronted with a lot of tough questions, and you're going to need to be able to answer those questions. So I'm going to throw a few at you here that probably need to be answered because you're going to hear them, and you're going to need to deal with them. What there appears to be some kind of controversy within your own universe here of the use of a name Stella and the use of the name Sheridan. What can you tell us about that?
I changed my name because it was 2008. I was a victim of attempted murder here in Minnesota, and it was a brutal attack. Somebody tried to kill me, and I was in the hospital for a long time. And then he also attacked the police when he was arrested. He served less than a year in prison for what he did, and he came out and found me again. So it became a nightmare going through all this stuff to try to keep moving, keep changing my address, keep changing my college to hide from him. And so that was in 2008, and I changed my name, and I did not have social media accounts other than my Twitter account. So locally, people are saying that I'm not a real person because I didn't have a Facebook account. And I addressed this in my press conference on July 2nd. And I said, it's a very sad reflection of society that somebody's not a real person if they don't have a Facebook account.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thing that you just said. I'm very sorry that that happened to you. But by running for office now, you're upping your profile and making yourself vulnerable again, no matter the name change.
But I think that shows that I'm very strong. I'm a very strong young lady. And I did consider my safety when I chose to get involved with politics. And I believe in God. And I believe that God will protect me as well.
So is your legal name now Stella, or is it your legal name still Sheridan?
Legal name we're working on changing to Stella. I've been using that name for over 10 years, but we're filing the paperwork to change it legally to Stella.
Okay, so technically right now the name is still correctly Sheridan.
Yes.
And we see there's a LinkedIn account for you as Sheridan. So is that an accurate account?
That's been, I had that account, I think it was like 2011, 2012, and I don't really use it because I talked to the detectives when I was trying to develop my safety plan. I didn't understand how somebody in prison could still find out where I was living, where I was going to college, what was I studying, where was I working. So I talked to the detectives, and they told me that people pay $8 a month and they can find all this information out. So I actually enrolled in a program called Safe at Home that's run through the Secretary of State. So all of my stuff is actually in a PO box to keep me safe. And it's a little bit confusing, but
it is, because if the idea was you were trying to kind of cloak your identity from this person since 2008, it seems a little odd that you'd have a LinkedIn account with the other name on it.
I didn't close it. I just closed the ones that I knew that he was harassing me on, like Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, my old cell phone number.
Now, we've also seen some information here as Daniel Sheridan of some run-ins with the law currently, or some legal issues that are going on. How's that going to affect your campaign?
That will be all resolved in a court of law to prove that. These things that are coming out about me are because of a woman who said that she was my campaign manager. And due to her behavior, I had to dismiss her. And I had dismissed her from the campaign before our trip to Washington, D.C. for the Freedom Rally. She showed up on the trip anyways without any communication and acted like everything was fine. And since then, she's been engaging in a lot of unethical activity, such as posting where I work, where do I live, and my personal information. And she's trying to say I'm a bad person and I've been charged with a crime. But
are you saying she's been doxing you with putting out your personal information?
Yes. And she had been engaging
going on. What's she been doing with that?
She's been putting it on Twitter, and then she's having like these armies of pedophiles come attack me. And that is disgusting to me. And apparently you cannot speak out against pedophilia on Twitter because it's not PC. And I don't like those people on my page. I don't want them commenting on me. And there's so many of them. And she had hacked my Parlay account. And so they said that they're not able to recover it. It's gone forever. She's been engaging in very bad activity.
You said there is an army of pedophiles?
Yes, that's who she is sending after me. And somebody had sent me screenshots when I was in D.C. saying that she had on her profile that she was representing my campaign, but she was engaging with these people who openly in their bio said that they are pedophiles. I don't want to be associated with that. I work with children. I work with vulnerable needs children. I don't want that type of people around me.
So the criminal charge that you're dealing with right now, that is a legit charge, right?
It's going to be resolved in court. I have an attorney retained, and it's going to be resolved in court. I don't think I can really explain too much more about it since I'm waiting to be seen by the judge for it. But they're posting it like I am guilty. And
not right. You should never be charged guilty. In this country, we have a presumption of innocence until someone has a trial. And Democrats have a tendency to do that quite a bit, is to, because somebody's accused of something, that means they're guilty. We've seen that with President Trump with Russian collusion. So clearly, until somebody has a hearing and some judge makes a decision, you should not be considered guilty of anything. What I'm trying to ascertain is the charges in court, which are against Daniel Sheridan, I'm not saying that the charge is accurate. I'm saying that is legitimate. You have been charged with something and have to deal with it.
Yes.
Well, that is something that I am sure is going to come up to bite you more than once in this campaign.
We're working with legal professionals on it because the charge originated in January, and we were told that it was not even going to be brought to court because it didn't even make any sense. And how would that happen? And I had witnesses. And then we didn't hear anything about it until after I announced I was running for office and filed with the FEC. So we're working on it. But in the meantime, there's thousands of comments saying that I am guilty of this. And that's not fair to say I am guilty of this, because if I was a felon, I wouldn't be allowed to work with children. I wouldn't be allowed to.
Well, if you're exonerated, they'll say you're guilty of it just because somebody charged you with it.
These attacks are coming from within our own party, and that is what I was not expecting getting into politics. I expected this behavior from the left. I did not expect it from our own party, and they are doing a lot of unethical things. They're saying ridiculous things like Danielle's a plant. She is related to AOC. Just all these ridiculous things. They post my modeling pictures from 10 years ago. I never denied that I used to model. I just didn't think it was pertinent to my campaign to say I did this 10 years ago. And I explained it at my press conference. They came and they gave fake names and they grabbed my arm and they made a huge deal about it. But they
said, wait a minute, tell us about that. Somebody came to your press conference and grabbed your arm?
Yes, and they left bruises on my arm. Two women.
What happened?
And
tell us what happened.
So my press conference was scheduled on July 1st at the Capitol building, and that former campaign manager had said there was going to be people there for security because I've been getting threats here locally from people who are wanting to support a different candidate. They're making death threats and rape threats. So she said there was going to be security there. There was no security there, but I went there and I did it anyways. Two women came to the event and gave fake names, and it was getting ready for the press conference to start. And they said that they're supporters of mine and they were invited by my campaign manager, but that they needed to get something, an answer about something. And I said, okay, what is the question? And so they pulled out a modeling photo that I had already addressed previously and said, yes, that's me. There's nothing wrong with it. And they said that I need to explain myself. And I said, what do I need to explain about it? I did modeling 10 years ago so I could afford to go back to college and not have to get a whole bunch of student debt while doing it. And then they called my name for the press conference, and these two women grabbed my arm, and I said, we can finish this discussion after I do this. I'm here for a reason. But they grabbed my arm, leaving bruises on it, and then were very disruptive during my press conference, and that's not right.
Did you press any assault charges on them or anything?
No.
Well, I don't see modeling as an issue. I mean, the First Lady used to be a model, which the left loves to try to throw up all the time.
The right is using it against me, saying that I'm doing this to embarrass Melania. They're engaging in conspiracy theories, and it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're saying I am a secret Democrat running in this district. If I was a secret Democrat, I would just run as a Democrat. It's a heavily weighted Democrat district, and I'm getting the majority of the attacks from the left or from the right here locally. And these people will go to the events and be nice to me and shake my hand and touch me, but then they'll go back home and write horrible things about me on the internet. And that's not normal.
Do you know if anyone is going to, have you heard of anybody challenging Omar on the Democratic side as far as a primary challenge?
I have not heard of anybody from the Democratic side challenging her. I know that there is a couple other Republicans who are considering running, and I think she should be challenged by somebody, but I hope that it's a Republican that wins this seat.
I'm really curious.
Here and fix things, because our district is falling apart and the crime has increased by 80% compared to last year. And I want somebody who will go to office and talk about the things that matter, like the veterans crisis. I've been trying to bring attention to this for a very long time. We're losing 22 veterans a day here in America, not because of war, but because we're letting them down. And all these Democrats at the Democratic presidential debate, they all raise their hands that we need to give free health care to illegal immigrants, but we're not taking care of our veterans.
Well, that's, you know, the thing that I find fascinating about the left with their free college is they want to wipe out all the student debt and everybody should have free college, but no one on the left will mention the GI Bill or the Montgomery Bill, where you can go in the service and get almost all the college you want paid for.
That's a good point. And there was a local story that came out like 2 months ago from an investigator about there's veterans that are owed like $1.5 million in VA-backed home loans. And he was trying to get the story out to everybody because it was disabled veterans who were owed this money. And it really frustrates me that we put everybody's needs in front of the needs of our veterans who sacrifice everything for our safety. And when I went through that traumatic incident in 2008, obviously I had doctors, insurgents fixing everything that happened, but the people who helped me process it and make me feel safe again in society were the veterans. And my pop-up is a veteran. He turned 90 earlier this year. And so they've always been special to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danielle, we certainly want to see somebody knock Ilhan Omar off of, I'm going to say, pedestal at this point.
Her perch. She's perching. She's not pedestaling.
Like a vulture?
Exactly.
Like a vulture on a high wire, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what is your website, the URL for people to learn more about your campaign?
Stella2020.com.
Stella2020.com. So folks,
you gotta put a little piece on the front with what's his name? Goodnight, the actor. Oh gosh. Oh, it just left me. I had it there for a second.
Oh,
Marlon Brando screaming.
Marlon Brando.
Stella. Stella.
Well, we're going to be adding a lot more things to it coming up. We're going to be doing like a video of me in the community. It's going to be professionally shot. And we have a lot of different events coming up, and I'm excited about it. I've been having a good time with the campaign so far. My favorite part so far was probably going to DC earlier this month. I loved it there.
Well, you should have a good time, and you should also keep a good sense of humor about that. It's very difficult to do, but you know, a sense of humor diffuses a lot of problems. So, you know, stay strong.
Well, folks, if you want to learn more about Danielle. If you want to learn more about Danielle Stella, you can go to Stella2020.com. Danielle, thanks for getting involved, and thanks for being with us here on Blunt Force Truth.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Danielle.
Well, Chuck, there it is. Danielle Stella. She's running in the 5th District, known as the Bloody Fifth.
Man, she sounds like she's getting bloodied already.
So I got to ask you, what was your impression?
Well, there was no helium involved, although I thought perhaps they were beginning. That was kind of ugly, really. She seems sweet. Sounds so young, you know. I don't know. I mean, listen, anybody would be an improvement over Omar, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to have the other candidates in the district also on, too. But
yeah, because these are going to be highly publicized runs. They really are. And they're destined to – the Democrats are destined to win these because they're very deep blue congressional seats. So it would be a giant upset if a Republican would come in and win any of these against the squad.
Yeah, so. This district is rated 26% Democrat as far as it leans – 26% Democrat.
Yeah.
No Republican has ever won in this district in over 50 years.
Right, right.
Any seat.
Well, just the fact that it's Omar, that it'll get a lot of press, and so will AOC. She'll get a lot of press, and Presley will get a lot of press, and blah, blah, blah. On it goes.
I'll be surprised if Omar doesn't have a primary challenger.
I just don't know. I mean,
Minnesota's, I think that's the easiest. I think that's the best shot to beat her.
Minnesota's just odd. It's just an odd place. It obviously is. When you see what comes out of there, you don't expect it.
They talk like Canadians. You know, they say Minnesota.
Well, I know. They're close to the Canadian border and all that kind of stuff, but they do border in Canada.
Yeah.
So
they're more like Canadians than Americans, I think.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
But I think the young girl's heart's in the right place. I think she's got an uphill battle.
Yeah, she does.
I think we took it kind of easy on her on some of these personal issues, but those things are going to come up.
Oh, nobody else is going to be easy on her. That's for sure.
That stuff's not going to go away. The name change, the law problems, and I believe that the charge that she's up with, I believe, is a shoplifting charge. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it is. But that stuff's not going to go away easy.
Well, she said she had witnesses that it didn't happen, so we'll see how it plays out in court. The other thing is, even if it didn't happen, they'll all accuse her of it happening anyway, because that's what happens in politics. You can never get away from any charge, whether you're guilty or not.
Yeah, as far as the Democrats go, she's already convicted and doing prison time.
And some Republicans, too. I mean, they do the same thing.
Well, we'll get the other candidates on, folks, and we'll let you have a kind of a broader look at...
Yeah, by the way, if you're interested in this, I don't know whether you are or not as our audience, you can write us a little note and let us know if you're interested in seeing these people who are running against the squad and if you want to hear about them and hear from them.
Fair enough.
Yeah. In the meantime, we want to thank you for listening. And that's our show for today. We'll see you next time on Blunt Force Truth.